The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Welcome to the RPG Years, your weekly drop-in for all things JRPG-related content. And we've got a bumper episode for you with news, RPG Club, and even tanks. Yes, hello everybody and welcome to the RPG Years, your weekly RPG podcast where I, your host Bill, will go through the world of JRPGs with you all, and we'll also catch up on a few other little details here and there. We've got a lot of news to cover with some rather interesting little legal snippets, which are quite interesting really, and also the RPG Club. Yes, the RPG Club. So I'll explain this once and dunce and be over with it thrice, whatever that makes sense. So yes, we here at the RPG Years, we have an RPG club. If this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, then welcome in, people. You know, I mean, welcome in. Frost is going to make your bed up, and Scott's going to make you some drinks. And just watch out for the alligators in the pool. They're Scott's pets, but just be careful. But yes, welcome to the podcast. And we have an RPG club. So essentially, ever done a book club? No, neither have I. So yeah, book clubs are like where you get a bunch of people together, you say, all right, read the first 10 chapters of a book, and then we'll all talk about it on Monday in a big circle and have some tea and coffee. But actually, we're going to gossip about other people. That's what we do here. This is the same thing. We pick an RPG, JRPG video game, and we play through it little segments at a time, and then we talk about it every 2 weeks on the show. These are nominated and voted for by our wonderful patrons. You know who you are. Big kiss to you all. And then we play through the games together. And we are currently playing Final Fantasy XII. There we go. I'll explain it again at the end of the show anyway. I always do. I say to myself, I'm just going to explain it once. And I always end up doing it like 3 or 4 times. But not this time. Maybe. All right, let's move on. Yeah, I'm going to have a little catch up with you all. Yeah, so obviously I have been playing Final Fantasy XII, and I spoke about it in some detail last week because I'd already got past the checkpoint. So I have passed the checkpoint. I have not missed a checkpoint, people. Come on, round of applause. You all thought I was going to fail at this, didn't you? Yeah, taking it over from Scott and Rich. I don't think Rich has even touched Final Fantasy XII. And Rich, oh yeah, I can confirm, people, Rich has now become a Spaced Ghost, but not like in Star Wars. It's more like Wesley Crusher in Star Trek. So we may see him again in the future. But Rich has sadly become a Space Ghost. And he occasionally just says hi in the Discord. Hi, Rich. Yeah, hi, Rich. But yes, anyway. So I've been playing that through, and I got to the checkpoint. I did a lot of extra post-grinding and stuff, and I started going for the Espers. I have to be honest, I haven't really done too much since then. I think I managed to... I couldn't get the one Esper in the sewers because he sucked. I didn't bother going to get the one on top of the mountain, which, by the way, I discovered that by accident. I happened to be wandering through there on a hunt, and I was just like, oh yeah, you can make all these platforms go up and down. And I was like, I wonder why I didn't do this first time. It probably just wasn't open to me first time. But I jumped into those platforms. And I did that whole thing on my own and then got to the top. And then that thing murdered me. I did that on the way to Old Arcades. But anyway, that's probably more stuff for the actual RPG club. But yeah, I started trying to grind out some extra gear and weapons and stuff to try and make myself a little bit more overpowered for the next Segmonte, which I'm kind of looking forward to a lot. So yes, I'm looking forward to getting back into it. But people, I put down Banjo-Kazooie. Piece of crap. Don't want to play that game anymore. I am back on the Metal Max terrain. Now, Skelly, if you're listening, spoilers coming up. Yes, Deesa and Skelly are playing with me. Now, I happen to know Deesa's kind of whereabouts I've got up to in the game. So, I hope so anyway. I think I may have just overtaken her a little bit. Maybe a little bit more. But we'll get to that. I forgot how much fun this game was. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, it's very menu heavy for a game, you know. That's my only criticism of the game so far, is that it's slightly menu heavy. But it's still really, really fun. And yeah, it's just, you know, just modding. But there's not, you know, the actual combat is very much like the early Dragon Quest games on the NES when you're on foot. But the fact is that you can get into tanks and then it just goes up another level. You kind of got like basic functionality that you can do with the tanks. You can even rearrange your battle menu as well, which is highly recommended. Every time you get a new tank, rearrange its battle menu so that AUX is the first thing, because AUX is just like a basic attack which doesn't cost any bullets, whereas it always has main cannon as your first option when you get a tank, and that will just eke through the 10 or 15 shells that you get for your main cannon. So always have AUX at the top, okay? Because then it's just easier when you're on the world map killing things. And I just turned on 16 times speed for a bit and went over the world map, because there is a lot of grinding to do, because as fun as the tanks are, they cost a lot of money in order to mod them. You get to mod your tanks, but it's like, it's not even just, you know, oh, I'm going to buy a new cannon, I'm going to buy a new AUX gun, I'm going to get a new special gun, I'm going to upgrade the engine, I'm going to upgrade the onboard computer, and then there are some other like items that you can attach on, like an air cooler, so if you get caught on fire, it'll automatically put out the fire and things like that. There are all these cool little additions that you can add to the tank. But then there's another level of stuff that you get to where you can actually then mod the chassis. So you can start adding it on, so you can have more than one main gun equipped. You can have more than one special gun equipped, more than one AUX gun. And it's just like, then you can increase your defense capabilities, but then it costs weight or certain things. And yeah, like, you can really get granular with it. And I was kind of looking at it, I modded a few things, and I was just like, I went to the next town, I immediately got like a new onboard computer, which was better than what I just modded my old one to do. So I was like, I'm going to leave this towards the end of the game. This is obviously stuff where I can really tweak things to make it go lot harder. But yeah, it's just, yeah, it was so, so cool just figuring that out. And there was a section of the game as well where I'd kind of just managed to go two or three towns, just keep on upgrading. I never got out of my tank. And it was just like, I was having a lot of fun with the game, that it suddenly made me get out of this tank and go into the sewers to try and kill a crocodile, and the crocodile owned me, and I was like, oh yeah, I've not upgraded my equipment for my actual people for a while. That's probably why. So I then went one town ahead, because it's often described as non-linear, this game, but it is very linear. You know, once you get past a few kind of early barriers, you could technically walk all the way to the end of the game, but the monsters are just going to be too difficult for you. That's how it kind of checks you, like I said, like an old Dragon Quest game. But it is really non-linear, in a sense, but not in a sense. So yeah, so I managed to sort of limp my way towards the next town ahead. Limp is the right word. I only just about made it. And then upgrade all my gear, came back, and I slaughtered that crocodile. Screw you, mutant croc in the sewers of Seoul. You're dead meat now, my friend. And because I killed it, I got another tank. Oh, I've got so many new tanks as well. I did the... So I managed to... Where was I? I was at Freezer Town. That was it. I hadn't done the Freezer Town bit. So I hadn't gone down, killed the mammoth tank at the bottom of Freezer, and then upgraded my shit and then gone on to the next town. And then, because there's a tank that you can find in the next little sort of desert-y, island-y area. You have to find it underground. I eventually just used the guide to find it, because my metal detector skills in Metal Max Returns is not great. But yeah, I managed to get a couple new tanks from Freezer, moved on, got my next couple of hunts. This is just like Final Fantasy 12. I even found a bar where there was a bunch of ladies dressed as bunny women dancing around on stage. It's just like, this is Final Fantasy 12. I've got hunts and bunny women. Like, what more is there in this game? Why am I only playing FF12 likes at the moment? I don't know. But yeah, so I managed to get all the way from Freezer, go around, and I did the Corona building. Now, spoilers, Skelly, you might want to skip the next sort of minute of audio if you are listening. Corona building was great. I managed to get up to the top. There was a guy who was basically, in order to create a land bridge to get to the next sort of segment, was going to blow up the building. This is a skyscraper. He's going to blow it up so it creates a land bridge. And yeah, he blew it up. And then it went into this like little Mode 7 type cutscene where you see the building collapse on its side and fill in the gap. And it was just like, oh wow, this was so cool. I was like, oh man, like, there was not a lot of story points in this game. It's normally just like, how do you get to the next town? But then that was like, yes Hunter, like, oh, it was just so cool. What a cool moment, just like setting loads of gunpowder on the fourth floor, letting the guy blow it up, having to run out. He says to you as well, are your tanks parked at the entrance? It's like, yeah. It's like, he's like, move them out onto the world map. It's like, all right mate, wait for me. Quick, get in the tanks, everybody! Get them out of the way! so cool. And anyway, so yeah, managed to do that, get over to the next segment. And then that was when I went down. Then you kind of find out about this gang called Gomez. You get to get on a tank ferry, which takes you across the water to another area. Then you have to go find a secret waterfall base. And then you get this whole cutscene where the tank guy is... he's lured in Red Wolf, and Red Wolf's kind of been in the background of the game. Everyone talks about him as this amazing hunter, and he's the guy that you meet at the very, very, very beginning of the game when you find your first tank, because he's like, hey, I got this tank first. You're like, oh man, I just got here. I just killed this weird dog with a bazooka strapped to its back. He's like, well, this tank's a piece of crap, actually. You can keep it. And then he drives off in his little red tank, and then you meet him, and he's like, he's been lured out by Gomez, and apparently he's been searching for some girl called Nina. And Gomez presents his woman and says, I've got Nina. Now get out of your tank or I'll kill her. So he gets out of his tank. And then Gomez says, oh, it's not Nina. Runs off around the corner, gets in his tank, comes around. And then basically you have a little mini fight with Red Wolf and Gomez. And Gomez obviously slaughters him, because if you're outside of a tank and you're against a tank, you've not got much chance of surviving in this game. You know, it's one of the three levels of this game. You can fight on foot, but you don't want to fight against anti-tank stuff on foot. And if you're on foot, you really don't want to fight against tanks, because they will absolutely destroy you. And then, yeah, you have to go in and kill Gomez. And then Red Wolf's like, oh, if you ever find Nina, tell her to get on with her life. Don't worry about me. It's like, all right, Red Wolf, I'm going to plow her when I see her. No, of course not. God, what a harsh thing to say. My friend, when I meet your long-lost love, I'm going to plow her for you. So, what? Yeah. Now I took his tank. I took your tank. Now I'm going to take your girl. Stupid Red Wolf. But yeah, it wasn't even the girl Gomez had hostage. Wasn't even her. It was someone else. I basically wiped out this gang. And then I went back to Seoul and I went through the Devil Tower, which, oh my word. there was a Zeppelin fight in there, which I had to kill, which was one of the hunts. I managed to find him around floor, I think it was like 10 or 15. And this tower is much bigger than the Corona building, which I blew up earlier. It was just horrific. It was so long. It was like nearly 30 plus floors, and a lot of them were empty and devoid of any type of life. There's a few vending machines on the way up where you can get like the anti-paralysis thing. And you're going to need the anti-paralysis thing because fucking enemies in this place would paralyze you constantly. And then you get all the way to the top and you just find a code, which is to get out. And I was like, oh, okay. And I zoomed out. I was like, oh, I didn't write the code down. It was like 1, 2, 4, something. I was like, oh, fuck. Luckily, I found a nice walkthrough on GameFAQs. Thank you, GameFAQs, for still existing. If anything happens to the GameFAQs website, as in all those old guides that people wrote back in the late 90s and 2000s, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life anymore. Thankfully, there is a GameFAQs thing, which actually has the code in the walkthrough. You know, I checked 3 walkthroughs, and only one of them I did. God, I didn't want to have to go back up those 20 floors. So make sure you make a note of that, Deesa and Skelly, when you get to the top of Devil's Tower. And it's pretty much where I am now. I'm just going to the broadcast tower to do the next sort of, I've got a hunt to do underground, and then something, having a hunt inside the broadcast tower. It just seems to be going from hunt to hunt to hunt. I feel like at this point, now that I've got that code, I think I can go to the very end of the game, but I'm not really sure. But I kind of want to go through and clear out all the hunts anyway, so that's my next thing. But yeah, really, really enjoying the game. I'd been chatting on Discord, and I'd set myself a goal, okay? I said I wanted to get from Freezer Town, which is where I was, to the secret waterfall base, to the fight with Gomez. I wanted to get to there by Sunday the 26th of February, you know, so this weekend coming up. But obviously, I've now smashed past that. So I'm currently doing, currently done all the Section 9, which is Seoul. I've already gone past Eden and got to the broadcast tower. So I've got a little bit to do to finish the next kind of segment that I had planned, which is to get to the end of the Santa Poco section. Get to the rundown oasis. So yeah, hopefully by the weekend I can do that. And then I think after that, it's just basically finishing the game. So there may be a Metal Max Returns review in our future very, very soon. Anyway, I've waffled on about Metal Max Returns loads, okay? Let's get on to the next segment, shall we? Let's talk about the news.
Hear ye, gather round for all your news. Stop your clatter and listen close. Alas, you won't believe your ears. Listen close for the news.
News, 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 news. News. Now, apparently, the new Theatrism game, Final Bar, which I spoke about before, which is supposed to be the most amazing Final Fantasy game ever made, actually has a nod to a Final Fantasy XIV meme. Now, obviously, Caslo is my good friend who posts a lot of the news segments. He thinks will be interesting to talk about. I'm not familiar with this meme. I don't really understand it. So, yeah. So I think basically there was like a performance at a fan fest, and they've made the characters kind of do the dance that the people were doing on stage. Yeah, I don't know. But it's a thing. Okay. So yeah, look forward to that if you are going to be playing Final Bar and you're doing the long fall thing. It's called song from Final Fantasy XIV. So yeah, look forward to that. Is there a new mystery dungeon on its way? So February 27th is going to be Pokemon Day. And yeah, and some clever sod has gone through the source code of the Pokemon Company's website, and they found a copyright to Spike Chunsoft. And Chunsoft were the people who made the Pokemon Mystery Dungeons. I don't think we've had one since 2010. So it's kind of like long overdue, a Mystery Dungeon. So everyone's speculating now that there's going to be a new Mystery Dungeon game. And if there wasn't, Pokemon Company are probably now going to make it because they've realised that it's something that they could probably do and people will be excited about. So, yes. Good old Mystery Dungeon. Never played one? Probably never will. Chrono Cross Remaster finally gets a performance patch 1 year on. Now, having played through the game, I don't think it really needs a performance patch. But lots of people did complain about the frame rates. I think if you changed the output from 1080p to 720p, you didn't get the kind of performance issues. And obviously, I played it on a Switch Lite, so I didn't get performance issues. And I think if you have it on your TV and stuff, it makes it worse. But yeah, I don't really know what it was. But there is a patch finally coming, almost a year to the day since that game came out. I should probably get a review together for me and Scott for a year and a day for when that game comes out. But yeah, finally good that they've actually listened to people who were complaining about that shit, and they're finally going to get a patch released. Put this date in your calendar, people. March 8th, Level 5 have announced a new product stream announcement. So they're going to do a live stream and they're going to talk about various products that they're going to have coming out. So they're going to have more information on Professor Layton and the world of Steam, which I don't really give two flying shits about, but hopefully we'll get a new RPG IP coming out from Level 5, which is really, really exciting news. So I am going to be very much glued to my Discord feed to see what Caslo has to say about that thing so I can reiterate it all to you guys. No, hopefully I'll be awake and I'll actually watch it, but you never know. And finally, and this was kind of the most interesting one for me, was that an indie Paper Mario inspired game, which is called Outbound Ghost, is having legal issues. And essentially, the creator of the game has DMCA'd his own game. So The context is basically he created this game. You know, it's been released on Steam and it doesn't really have any issues on Steam. And then he had a third party publisher given the responsibility of actually publishing this game out to the world. And the game was released as buggy as shit. And people got loads and loads of complaints. So he was trying to just basically rescue his reputation as a game designer, producer, maker, and say, like, this wasn't me. Like, these people haven't adhered to the quality control things that I had in place when we signed the contract. And then they're now counter-suing him for reprimation and stuff. And it's all just absolutely crazy, crazy stuff. But the guy has a video on YouTube where he goes through everything that he's doing. And he looks really young. that's my first thing. But he seems really well put together. He seems to really know his shit and what he's talking about. And yeah, I mean, probably not the best idea to go out public about these type of things. Normally with court proceedings, that can often work against you. Not that I know much about court proceedings. I'm a good boy, honestly. yeah, let's move on. But yeah, he seems really well put together, and I feel kind of bad for him. I might go, you know, maybe throw him a couple of bucks on Steam and buy the game and see what it's like. Yeah, maybe that's going to be the best way to support him. Don't buy the console ports, you know, because they're shit. and all that money goes to the publisher, who have yet to pay him anything for the money that has been made from the console ports. So I just wouldn't bother doing that. But yeah, really, really interesting. Check it out if you can. It's Outbound Ghost is the game, and the guy put a big long Twitter thread with snippets of the video, and the whole video is on YouTube. But it's definitely worth a watch. Really, really interesting, and it really shows how you really need to team up with the right publisher for your game, of what you're doing. On which point, I can't recommend the publisher enough for Chained Echoes, which I know may sound a bit of a tenuous link, but I've been having some like side conversations with the guy who runs the publishing house. Don't ask how I get myself into these situations, people. Yeah, so he's one of the people who runs Deck 13, which is a publishing house. And yeah, I mean, the support that I've seen them given the creator and the community of Chained Echoes is just incredible. So I don't know who Outbound Ghost went with, but avoid them. Like, if you are a budding game producer, budding game designer, and you want to make your own game, don't go with the people who did Outbound Ghost for console ports and shit. go with Deck 13. I can highly recommend them. And that's it for the news, people. Now let's get into the most important section of today. Let's talk about the RPG Club. Yeah, let's go to the club, people.
Attack on Final Fantasy is a podcast where IP tried to complete every single Final Fantasy game using Attack only. In between the weekly main episodes, I often post other bits and bobs, like games I play on a whim, or episodes featuring my lovely wife.
Help me, you've got to help me, I've been kidnapped by a podcasting lunatic.
So, come and join me over at Attack on Final Fantasy, wherever you get your podcasts. I think I'm pretty much everywhere these days. You lucky, lucky people.
Go to the club, people.
Welcome to the VIP lounge. You gotta be level 99 to get in here, baby. No underlords, scrubs. So why don't you go ahead and order yourself one of our finest elixirs, and one of our beautiful bunny girls will show you to your table. Kick back, relax. It's time for the RPG Club.
Oh yes, I just love that new jingle, which I finally got to release. Thank you very much to Realness for putting that together for me. He's an absolute stalwart. I love that guy. Anyway, this segment was from the end of Mount Bermises, all the way up to Old Arcades, okay? If you've gone into Old Arcades, and if you've done that little weird mission where you have to speak to everybody in town, you've gone too far, okay? I didn't say reach New Arcades, I said reach Old Arcades, okay? That's the next segment. Thank you very much. Now, I didn't do a great job I know. I normally do such an amazing job that you're all so shocked about it. But I didn't do a great job of kind of explaining what had kind of happened last time. So I do apologise about that. So essentially there was a power struggle and Vane, or looks like Vane, framed one of the Senate members to do to murder his dad, who's in charge of the Senate, and then do a suicide, you know, and then Vane's the one who finds him, suspicious as fuck. and so he essentially starts a coup. So he's trying to oust, arresting all the members of the Senate, taking control using an executive order. Judge Dace basically confronts him directly and is just like, this is all you've planned all this is all horseshit. And so he questions the loyalty of the other judges around him, which is like Bergen and someone else. Bergen actually just lifts her up and throws Dace to one side, and he's the judge that you kill in the next bit. And then Vane orders Balfour's brother, let's not forget about this, Judge Gabranth, to kill Dace, who's basically his best friend, which he does. Nothing like killing your best friend to make your Mondays go a bit faster, right? And so essentially this leaves kind of Larsa in a bit of a precarious position, because Vane's now in charge and Larsa is kind of the only real threat to his empire. But despite the fact they're brothers, but you know how this sort of goes when there's big power struggles going on. So Gabranth and Bergen and someone else, I can't remember his name, it's like Zinedine Zidane, go off to get Larsa from Mount Bert-Omeses. And that's where we fight Judge Bergen, but Gabranth leaves with Larsa. And so we decide that, Al Cid from Rosaria, he's trying to convince Ash to come back to Rosaria with him so that they can, you know, just be like, this is all provocation. We don't need to fight Arcades unless they directly attack us. You know, try and quell the political situation in his continent. And she's like, no, because I've got the Dawn Shard and I've got the Sword of Kings now, which can break Nephisite. But the Arcadians, Vane, still has I think it's the Midnight Shard. Is that the right one? He's still got that, so she wants to go take it from him. And Balfour's just like, well, you know what that's going to be? Ha ha ha! Because I'm Balfour and I know shit that I'm not letting you on about. We'll find out more about that shortly, because it's the only story segment in the actual next segment. So I'm glad I didn't explain this well last time, because otherwise I'd have nothing to talk about story-wise this segment. But yeah, he says that stone is definitely going to be in the Draclaw laboratory with Dr. Cid. And that is in the middle of the Arcades in the Arcadian Empire. And do you know how we're going to get there, people? We're going to walk all the way there. Yeah. Shit. And literally, we walk all the way there. There's one moment where we get to the Thon Coast where there's a bit of story. And then we have to walk there. So I'm going to... I don't think this is going to be a long segment this week, people. So the first place we have to go to is the Mosfion. Oh God, why can't I fucking read? Right, Mosfion High Waste, which is really cool, like mountainous area. And like I said before, there's this whole like side quest you can do with lifting stones up and down by using water vapors, like absolute bonkers technology left by the ancients. So it's completely unknown how it actually works, and you can't really do that until you've come back from the Thon Coast, I think. But yeah, first time you will come here, you just have to go through the hunter's camp. There is a hunt you can do on the way, I think. But yeah, it's just really cool mountainous area. I kind of liked it. It's kind of like wet, drizzly. Reminds me of Scotland. Don't know why, but it does. And then we get to the Silica Woods. Now, I complained last time about the Feywood. No, is it a Feywood? Feywood's later, isn't it? What's the Glamour Jungle, that's it. I complained about the Glamour Jungle, saying like, this doesn't look anywhere near as good as that place in Final Fantasy X. Final Fantasy X looks way better. Silica Wood is a bit more closer to being on par with Final Fantasy X. It's not, trust me. But it's a lot prettier than the Glamour Jungle. I really like the Silica Woods. There's lots of dappled sunlight coming through the roof. You can see a bit more off into the distance. There's these funny little huts dotted around with Moogles in it. And you have to actually go get all... Yeah, you get all the way to the end of the Silica Woods and there's basically a gate that's broken that won't let you go through to the Fon Coast. So you have to go back and find all these lazy Moogles, and they keep calling them the lazy Moogles, sitting in the houses, and you have to tell them that they need to go and get on with the job so you can get on with your life. And so that's kind of your little mission through the Silica Woods. But I really liked it. There's some really cool things here. Now, there is also, once you've done that section and you've got to the Fon Coast, you can go back to the Silica Woods. And to make it easier for yourself, fast travel back to the crystal that's in the Silica Wood, okay? Because that's right next to where you need to go, where you can go kill the King Bomb, which will then open up the path to the Necrol of Nabudis, as well as this other sort of like the Nabudisan Deadlands or something. And yeah, you can go in, it's basically a big circle thing. But oh my God, the enemies in the Necrol are so hard. Like, I was able to kind of keep myself alive going through the... I was able to keep myself alive going through the Deadlands. But going into the actual... going into the actual Necrol of Nabudis was like murder. I managed to survive the first fight where I got like swamped by about six or seven of these little weird mutant guys, and then the second one it was just like, no, it's not going well, and I had to howl-tile it out there with Balfir with his tail between his legs. I was just like, no, this isn't working. And then bloody Frost went all the way through it. He managed to get, like, there's some really rare spells in there apparently, so I might have to make another little trial run, see if I can get through there and pick up some of these cool items that are in there. There's supposed to be a shop in there as well. There's like a secret ghost character, like you get up to him and there's like, he's not actually there, you just see the exclamation mark appear above your head, and then you talk to him, then he suddenly appears, and he's like a weird shop, but he sells different items at different times in the game. Really, sounded really funky, but I was just like, no, this is way too difficult for me. But yeah, we can go to the Fon Coast. Fon Coast is beautiful. It's like some sort of tropical Caribbean beach landscape. Absolutely beautiful, but it's huge. And this is probably the only area in the game, including, I did, because I fully explored the next area, I couldn't even bother to explore the Fon Coast. It's just like, it was huge. I got to the hunter's camp, I found the little Moogle giving the map, and I looked at him and was just like, ah, no. I just have to walk those two screens to get to the next bit. That's what I'm doing. So, yeah, but when we get to the camp, Balfir, this is our story point, people. Pay attention, get your clipboards out. All right. This is the only bit of story we've had in this whole segment. We get a little cutscene. Very, very short. this is an important bit of story, though, so it's good to have it singled out by itself. Balfir starts saying to Ash about the Nephisite. And he says, like, I used to know someone who became obsessed with the Nephisite. Because he's basically asking her, like, are you going to use it to destroy? Or are you going to use it for peace? Or are you just not going to use it? She's like, well, stutters around herself, like, no. I used to know someone. He became obsessed with the Nephisite. And basically, he's talking about Dr. Sid in the Dark Lore Laboratory. And Dr. Sid is his dad. Dr. Sid was the one who discovered that using the Nephisite, you could make airships, and you can make the airships fly over the certain areas which they can fly over, which apparently, you have to have like levitational stones or something to react with the Nephisite in order to get these planes and these things up in the air. And he invented all of that, and it gained him a lot of notoriety to the point where his son was made a minor judge, and his son was Balfir! And obviously, yeah, and his brother Cabranth. Yeah. You see the family connection? Now suddenly it all makes sense. Balfir's dad is the lead doctor of all the scientific technology going on inside the Imperial of Arcades, whatever they're going to bloody call it. And yeah, so that's why he knows so much about what's going on. He has been at the centre of the Eye of the Storm for such a long time. But eventually he got to the point where he couldn't recognise his dad anymore. His dad had become this different, horrible person. So he decided to cut ties and just become a sky pirate. As you do. Yeah, really, really, really cool to finally get that thing out. I didn't remember it either. You know, like I said, I played this game many years ago. I can't remember very few details about the game because these segments get very stretched out between story beats. And yeah, I didn't remember it at all, but really, really cool to find out, like, Balfour, man. No wonder why you know every fucking thing that's happening and you know every single person. Because you've been there. You've done that. That's who you was. And you've tried to escape, but it's just that your past has drawn you back in. Yes, good boy, good boy. Anyway, we can move on from the Hunter's Camp because we have to do the next segment in order to come back and actually do anything to do with the Hunter's Camp. So there's not really much to do here. Unless you've done that hunt that's deep in the Lasso mines in Bajerba, and you've made that kid drop his key out from the mines, and you can come down here and pick it up off the sand. Yeah, really, really cool. I kind of like that whole thing of being like, oh, yeah, someone's dropped something out of the Sky City, and you can later on find it on the floor in the Fon Coast. It was like, that was really, really cool. It was like, and that will give me access to an even deeper part of the mines. Yay. I love revisiting these mines and dungeons. Yay. Yeah, I'll just do that now. I did a lot of extra mopping up of the hunt, so I had to go back to the Barim Passage or whatever it's called, where I was able to get the Esper that was down there, and then that linked back into the bloody Gammasmith Waterway. Yeah, the sewers of Rabanaster, back here again. And so I mopped up the extra hunts that were still left to do in the sewers. Then I tried to do the Esper in the sewers, but he kicked my ass, so I still got to go back to the sewers one more fucking time. One more time back to the sewers. I don't want to go. I don't want to do it, people. Don't make me do it. I will. I'll go back and do it. And then, yeah, went and did the extra things in the Lasso mines, but I haven't gone and done the ones at the very, very back now that I've got the extra key, because I don't think I've actually unlocked anything that's worth going in there for. And it's probably just a fucking Esper that's going to kick the shit out of me anyway, so I'll give that a little bit of time. But yeah, you can progress forward into the Tichika Uplands, which is really, really cool. Now, this really reminds me of Final Fantasy X, because there's lots of old, like, ancient structures which are, like, made out of stone, and they're all moss-covered. It really reminds me of the opening part, not the opening part in Xenogland, but, I can't remember what the place is called now. Where the racist guy, Wacker, lives. Yeah, you know, the islands. Perseid Islands. It kind of reminds me a lot of Perseid Islands. You know, we've just come off this tropical beach area, and now we're in this, like, slightly higher, more elevated, rocky outcrops coming off of mountains with all these old buildings that are covered in moss and stuff. It did really remind me of that. Again, I would say Final Fantasy X looks better, but Final Fantasy XII is way more fun because it's actually open and you can go run around and look at things more rather than just having your nice hallway that you're attached to. But yeah, there's a weird side quest kind of thing where someone gives you a fake hunt bill, which is a bit strange, where it's like really badly drawn. And she even says, like, a lot of the hunters I've given this to said it wasn't good enough and gave it back to me to do it again. Okay. But she gives you a key in order to get into the Sotian cave palace, where apparently some monsters in there have stopped her son being able to get in or out or something. It didn't really make any sense, and it didn't seem to be worth it in any sort of way, because I found her son by the other save crystal. And then when I went into the Sotian Palace, I just got touched by a bunch of Mandragorans. Now, I had a lot of fun trying to battle these Mandragorans. They basically, like, run in and out, and, like, the different ones have, like, different status effects. Like, there's, like, a magic one, an attacking one state. I didn't really understand what the mechanics was, because it was just bonkers. These things were just running in, casting things, doing things to you, and then running off again. And you were kind of just, like, running around after them. So I was just desperately, like, I'm going to let Balfour and Ash do what they want to do. And Van, you're going to concentrate on stealing from them. As soon as you stole them from one, we're going to move on to the next one. I think I managed to steal from three of them. I don't know which one it was I missed, but I think he was dead before I got there. But yeah, really fun fight, the Mandragorans. Really enjoyed that. So at this point, you're now free to explore the palace? Something palace? The Sotian Cave Palace. Sotian Cave Palace, yeah. Which is essentially, it starts off as a cave and then kind of turns into a sort of a palace-y area and then goes back into being a cave. And I really like this area. There was a really cool little mini puzzle, which I completely failed at doing, where you're supposed to be able to change the way that the sand or the water, whatever it is that's falling, you can change its path in order to access some really cool items. And I failed miserably at this. I tried to work it out and I eventually just thought, I can't be bothered. But I think I might come back here because I think there's some interest. I think the items are quite interesting. But yeah, I couldn't figure out how to get onto the middle island section. And again, it's all underwater. There's these big waterfalls coming down. Really cool looking area. Not enemies, not really cause me any problems. So I may venture back in here just before I carry on going into old Arcades. But yeah, it seems like it was really fun. But yeah, you can go deep, deep, deep into this thing. There's some weird corridors which all sort of seem to lead together. And there are a lot of doors which are locked. And apparently you have to do weird tasks. Like you have to walk around the previous room in a certain direction, it sounded like, by the description that came up. I think these are to unlock some fights later on, like hunt fights. I think there's something I think Frost mentioned a hell rim is down here, which I didn't come across, so I assume that's one of these doors I've got to unlock. I'm kind of hoping that that'll just be a hunt at some point and it'll make me come back here and figure out. But yeah, I wouldn't mind returning to this area because I've returned to the other areas so many times. But this one was really quite fun. So yeah, good couple of things to do. And then I fought the Is the H silent? Airman. I'm going to say Airman. The Airman boss, which is kind of like a big wraith thing that's been appearing. And again, he went down like butter on a hot knife. my team just laid into him and it just really didn't take much to take him out. But then at this point, you have to sort of come through and find a great big elevator that takes you up to the wondrous, splendulous, if that's even a word, orange save crystal, which was the end of the segment. Because yeah, you can walk up from the orange save crystal and it takes you into old Arcades. So that's where I'm going to end this bit today, because the next segment is to reach Guravagan, I want to say. I should have probably had that open in front of me. But yeah, we're going to get there eventually. But yeah, the next section is all about chops, but I'll talk about that next time on the RPG Club. Okay, and apparently I'm very, very good at this because I was right. The actual next segment is to get up to Guravagan, which is due by March 5th, people. So that's our next checkpoint. At this point, you've only got like a week or so left, so make sure you get it going on, my friends. Now, it's time for everybody's favourite part. It's time for the feedback from our wonderful listeners and friends and happy people who love the show, whoever you are. So we're going to start off with Frost, because he manages to always put his feedback in about a day after the segments begin. Segment 4 completed, says Frost, who's currently a Knight of the Round. Level 45 at 33 hours, which I think is quite similar to me at the moment. But I took a few detours to Birim and Nabudis before finishing. I can't believe you managed to get through Nabudis, man. I'm struggling with that. This was one long walk to Arcades. Breaking it up with hunts and side quests was probably the correct approach, as it can get quite boring at times. Yep, I did the same thing. At the conclusion of this segment, we finally learn why Bylfear knows so much about the Empire. His father is Dr. Cid, and he was a judge. What a twist. Somewhere along the way, I acquired the Berserker gloves and put them on Bylfear. So I typically just haste and brave him and then keep him alive while he smashes stuff. I grabbed the optional Esper Zalera, the Death Seraph, who has an awesome design. The quest to do is quite involved, where you have to be patient in the desert side quest first to get the passage key and then all track all the way through the Brem to get the spare to the Esther room. Yeah, I did that. My other exclusion to Nabudis is not recommended unless you are well over leveled, but I did pick up some good spells and armors. Oh, and one other piece of advice. I found the Thief Cuffs, rare chance still improved, and stole from everything on the walk to Arcades and end up with over 500k gil. And yeah, I fully recommend that. Set your gambits to be still enemy HP over 100%, or on 100%. So that means Van, the first thing he's going to do is get steel and go up to them, and then typically he's going to do a steel. It normally succeeds. You've got a better chance of getting a rare drop from them as well. And then normally whoever's behind you, Ash, let's say, will come up and whack the enemy. Its HP falls below 100%. Van then moves on to the next guy to steal from who hasn't been hit yet. Really, really good little tactic there. Moving on. Winter, Disa, Ward of Justice. Another segment done. I'm finally glad to be playing through all of this game, not just the beginning parts. Most of this segment was spent running in circles around Hunter's camp, changing around equipment that gives me more EXP. By the time I made it to the dungeon, the boss went down in a few flashes of just regular attacks. I finally bothered to open the second license board. I can't believe you haven't opened the second license board yet. I've almost apart from all the small items on the board, I pretty much got all the stuff that I need from both ends. I'm going to mix up my licenses though. That's my next. All in all, a really enjoyable, eventful segment. All in all, not a very eventful segment, but I enjoyed the grind. Moving on to J Pirate S. For all the lamenting by others who played this game about how long and boring this segment would be, I finished it rather quickly and enjoyed it. The long walk to Zanarkand, Arcades, was at least broken up into different sections and had enough story, minigames, boss battles mixed in. The big story reveal when we reached the hunting camp in Fond Coast was worth the journey. We now know why Balfour knows so much about the Empire, being the son of Cid and a former judge himself. This is like finding out that the Grand Motif Tarkin was Han Solo's father. I don't know what. I must have missed that bit of Star Wars. After finishing early, I spent the last weeks on hunts and side quests. I have 22 hunts completed and found a few others that I tried, namely Carrot, Antlion, and Trickster. Oh, come on, I've done Antlion. You need to get in there, Jay. Kill that Antlion. I may be poorly leveled at this point in the game, but not as overleveled as some of the other club players. I have Van and Ash at level 40, and everyone else is around level 30. In addition to hunts, I finished the patient in the desert side quest, and after math to do a ring in the rain hunt, which confirmed my suspicion that the quest giver was a ghost. He was very mysterious. Yashiri00 has now joined the Discord, so no longer a Twitter submitter. Again, I'm trying to get more Twitter submitters, but still, I appreciate in the Discord you can leave longer replies. Decided to join you all on Discord as I was the only person up posting updates on Twitter. Yes, sorry about it. I forgot to post my segment 3 update as I was on holiday. A long-haul flight back from Malaysia to the UK on that Sunday, combined with jet lag, I totally forgot to post. I've just made it to Arcades on deadline day. I honestly have very little recollection of the story between segment 3 and 4, but I remember this as the first segment that I really struggled to beat. There were quite a few twists and turns in the story, again, but not much if it has stuck in my memory. However, the battles have been pretty memorable. Those damn Mandragorans. I had to power level for a good few evenings as I could just not beat them. I finally beat them after power leveling my main party to level 40, my backup party to level 30, and then abusing summons and long range attacks. Fran was hastily removed from my party and replaced with Balfour as my ranged powerhouse due to the battle. But the competition is fierce for who gets to stay in the main party now. Hopefully I struggle a lot less with the next segment. Garasaki, or Gary, as we know him. I'm actually behind in this segment as I started it the day before it was due. I also quickly learned that this game turned into a running simulator, running from Mount Bermithis to Old Arcades, and there wasn't really much story. There was a decent amount of boss fights during the run. The main one that sticks out that I hated was the Mandragoran's boss fights. I leveled my party to 35 to take them on, as my first attempt at level 31 was a mess and I quickly party wiped. I look forward to hopefully getting back into the story at Old Arcades. Arobi, the leading man, says, the grinding section. I actually enjoyed this quite a bit. I love the new locations along the way to Arcades. Fond Coast is beautiful, and the Tichita Uplands shows some more of the history to this world. The Silica side boss was a pain. Oh, that's the bomb, isn't it? Who knew a bomb could cause so much trouble? I should just keep reading. A few of my characters are starting to have completed license balls, which is nice, and two or three trips from Rabanastre to Arcades can make anyone a rich person. The hunt for the Eidolons also begun, as they just as they are just miserable affairs until you figure out the gambits needed for them. The game continues to be awesome, though I dread the next part. As soon as Mary Poppins... but as Mary Poppins would say, do the quest, chops a rumour, chops, chops, chops the van. Very good. LZ, finally made the checkpoint tonight, right at the last minute. I have to say, I'm really enjoying Final Fantasy XII. I'm glad that we got to do this playthrough so I could finally have an incentive to play it to completion. There was not a lot of story in this segment. It was composed mostly of the journey to the Empire's capital. But we are starting to see the world open up quite a bit. I'm really digging the design of the huge outdoor areas composed of smaller zones. It is such a refreshing change from the huge bloated open worlds of today's games. I wouldn't mind if a modern game returned to this style. We're also getting to see a lot of cool new environments beyond the deserts that were so prevalent in the early game. I was usually steamrolling through everything. With my character, so I was just beginning to think there was no challenge left from here on out. But oh man, was I wrong. So freaking wrong about this. I started the Espers, and wow, these suckers do not play around. All of the optional Esper fights are amazing, unique and challenging. It feels like doing an MMO raid, except you are in charge of every character. There are puzzle-like elements to certain things you have to figure out, steps you have to take to win. These aren't fights you can just zerg and conquer by brute force. You have to carefully set up your gambits and come up with a plan of action. And I love that. I'm going to continue LZ's essay. So far, my favourite was Zalera, who had an amazing spooky design and some crazy instant death attacks. He starts off invulnerable and stays that way until you kill the trash skeletons he summons. Exodus, who removes your ability to use items and unleashes crazy status effects on you, is also pretty cool. Another note, I think FF12 could have been subtitled, "Where's Vayne at?" Because, as Bill mentioned in the previous podcast, he is strangely absent throughout most of the game. At first, I thought he was kind of cool, and it added to his mystique. And then, of course, man with all those big political schemes and Machiavellian machinations would have been too focused on the bigger picture to pay much attention to small fries like Van and the gang. I also get that him underestimating our heroes is probably going to lead to his demise. But we are largely two-thirds through the game, and he hasn't really done much. It's gone beyond mystery. He's pretty much a non-entity. Everyone on the Discord knows I'm a Vayne fan number one, but honestly, he hasn't been much of a villain. He's going to have to do some really big, crazy shit to step up to the leagues of Kefka, Sin, and Sephiroth. Shit, right now, even corny-ass Seema has a stronger presence. Yeah, I kind of feel that. There's a lot more I want to say, but this is already running long, so I'll cut it short here. Oops, went a bit too long there. Feel free to cut out the last part on the Espers if it's not too much. Nah, it's never too much. I love reading everyone's feedback. It really, again, it's part of the show. This is a book club type segment that we do for the podcast, so it's fun to have everyone who's playing along's feedback. You know, that's what really makes this a real community that works together. So I'm grateful for every word you put down, LZ. Thank you very much. Sky Pirate Rob Von K. A nice short segment. Light on story, but the journey north was fun. The Fon Coast was a beautiful area. I'm sitting in the mid-30s with my mains and haven't struggled much at all until the King Bomb optional fight where I got messed up. I like the approach to exploring this game has. You can technically go almost anywhere, but be prepared to fight for it. I like the sudden jumps in difficulty if you stray off the right path to steer you back. It's something we see in modern games a lot, but I don't remember seeing it in other PS2 games. In fact, I only remember it being a thing in PS4 gen games. I re-rolled some of my characters yet again. I just can't seem to find those perfect job combos. Overall, I'm still loving it. And then finally, Punch Drunkus Dave comes back with feedback time, Bill. I love this section of the game. The areas had some nice variety. Woods, beaches, caves, oh my, etc. And it's even further varied by the added weather system. I'm sure I'll come to loathe the weather system when I start grinding out the rare enemies and filling out my bestiary. But the added snowstorms, monsoons, and sandstorms are really cool to see. The hardest boss I faced in this section was the King Bomb. Took me more than a few attempts to finally vanquish him and his minions. But overall, this section of the game wasn't too difficult. The Fond Coast was beautiful. It really reminded me of Besaid from FF10. So I grinded out as much as I could in that area. Side note, does everyone cast Float on their party? I do not. I actually do almost no buffing. And I know Kai has mentioned a couple of times in the Discord that all you need to do in this game is buff. It's just like, yeah, probably. I haven't even touched that. I haven't got anyone who can use haste. That's why I keep saying I need to re-roll my jobs at some point, because I'm missing out on a few techniques here, I think. Making things more difficult for myself than I need to. But Float, yeah, I haven't done Float. Or do you just run through the traps and deal with the random... Oh, Float for getting over the traps. Oh, you genius, Dave. Thank you. That's a great idea. Right, anyway. With the random consequences they inflict. Usually in a very difficult area where I'm worried about the party getting wiped, I usually just run right through them, lol. Overall, this section was great. My license board is fully filled, and I'm currently just grinding out the hunts, acquiring espers, and filling out the bestiary. Look forward to hearing how everyone else's progress has gone, and can't wait for the next episode. Bill! Who's that? Oh, that's me! Now, speaking of feedbacks, obviously our audio feedback, which one of them is LZ, who's given the written feedback this week, Ryan from Out of Quarters podcast, and Pete from the Attack on Final Fantasy podcast. You let me down, people. Come on. You should be giving me audio feedback. I need this stuff. But thankfully, we have the return of Scott. Yes, Scott is back, and here is Scott's thoughts. Here's Shots with Scott for his thought on the Final Fantasy 12 Segmento 4.
Oh, yeah. You know what time it is. Aren't you? Grab yourself a glass and pour yourself something lovely. It's time for Shots with Scott. Yeah.
Welcome back, my lovely guests, to Shots with Scott. This is a segment where one of the old co-hosts of the show, being myself, Scott, does a little rambling about the latest goings-on. I've skipped the last few episodes of contributing just because now that Bill's getting audio feedback, I think this segment has gotten a little more purposeless. But here I am anyway. Bill really asked me to do this. So, I am up to date on Final Fantasy XII, the Zodiac Age, and I have very mixed feelings about this so far. It's kind of the same experience I had when I was a kid, where I really want to like the game, but the game is doing its damnedest to prevent me from doing so. All right, I'm not going to talk about everything, all the segments that I missed. I'm just going to talk general thoughts and I guess this previous segment. The problem is, it's not that I find the combat boring. It's just that so long goes between story segments sometimes. And the combat is a little repetitive, especially when you're just mowing down mobs. And this last section, I think we had one cutscene of importance, which was a good cutscene. You know, it's Balthier telling Ash about his, you know, experience with the past and how he was a judge and his father's Dr. Cid. The thing is, though, we've only had like one scene with Dr. Cid so far. So why do we care about Dr. Cid? And that's like only two more scenes than what Vane has been in, right? Our main antagonist. But this segment, it just goes on forever. It's like the Yinsa Sansi from segment 2 or whenever that was on freaking crack. So wait, let's see. You leave. Where do we start here? You go from Mount Paramesis. The Pope just died. You have to go through the Pyramina Rift again. And then that leads you to what? Like the Fond Coast? And then, no, you go to the Salica Wood after that, right? And then the Fond Coast. And then I got excited because I was like, okay, I remember all that's left between now and Arcades is the Silken Cave Palace. Much to my surprise, once you leave Fond Coast, nope, you got the Takeda Uplands. I'm like, my God, this is like five huge areas with one cutscene. And I can spend like 2 or 3 hours in one of these areas, you know? It's just, it can't hold my attention that long. I haven't really been doing hunts very much. I know I should be because I've been trying to keep up with the club and time is limited. But yeah, I do think that the new, you know, class system and gambit system and the new license board and all that, I do think it helps out the gameplay quite a bit. I've been rotating out in and out different characters, keeping everybody leveled. It gives me a purpose to use everybody if I want to. Let me see. Yeah, and then so my party's at between 33 and 36 level wise. I've got Vaughn as a Bushi Shikari. He's like really running train on everybody right now. Balthier is a machinist and a black mage. Franz an Ulan and an archer. Bosch is a knight and a monk. Ash is a time mage and a red battle mage. And Pinello is a white mage and foebreaker, which is an interesting combo. One problem I'm having, though, is I'm letting Corey do all my upgrades, like license board and like shopping and shit, because he enjoys that kind of thing. And he keeps selling Balthier's guns. Like every time he goes to a store, he forgets that I need to keep guns for Balthier. And it's like, damn it, Corey. And for those that don't know, Corey's my fiance slash partner. Anyway, yeah, and it looks like I've got 57 hours and 23 minutes in the game. I'm at 204,809 steps. And yeah, it's just like, just to get through the Taquita uplands probably took like 2 hours. Because the game tracks your map completion. So I've just been going around. And it's just like, they just fucking forgot to write the story, kind of. Oh, and let me tell you about another like comedy of errors thing. I somehow used all my teleport stones. And so I got to the point where I didn't have this gun for Balthier because Corey sold it and I didn't realize that. And by that time I was already halfway to Arcades. So it was like, do I run all the way back to Reb and Aster? I'll be honest, I played a little bit into old Arcades to try to get to, you know, one of the warp crystals so I could go back to Reb and Aster and maybe do some leveling and all that good shit. But no, that wasn't the case. But yeah, so I don't know. It's just, I'm still into it. I'm just finding it hard to put the time in that the game wants me to give it. I've been killing nearly everything almost all the way, and I'm almost out of money. I don't know where to buy them. I know there's an airport in High Arcades yet, but I'm like, oh, now I've got to fucking do the chops thing. And it's like, when does it end? But I do remember the ending of the game is good, but it'll be a while before we get there. I know others are enjoying the game more than me, but what can I say? This is kind of like what my experience was the first couple of times. I've already missed a couple of side quests, so I don't know how many hunts I'm going to do. All I can do is keep trucking along. I don't think, like I said, we're generally having fun. It's just this segment in particular is frustrating. And I remember hating it when I was a kid, too. It was like this and then the Yenza Sansi that just feels like it takes forever to get through. But the journey must go on. I know there's some cutscenes in the next segment. Maybe we'll get to see our villain for once. Who knows? Yeah, I guess that's it. I hope you guys have a lovely day. And this has been Shots with Scott.
57 hours. Mother of God, Scott. 57 hours. You madman. I'm at like 36 and I've done all the hunts apart from Carrot and whatever the level 7 one is. Like, come on, man. What are you doing? I'm a higher level than you. How? Like, even when you do the speed up time thing, that doesn't affect the in-game clock. Like, what are you doing? You're just like wandering around at a slow pace, just going, da, 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 da. I'm on my way to Arcades. I'm going to walk and sing and take my time. I kid, Scott. I don't know how you're taking so much time. You and Deesa are a law unto yourselves when it comes to times in these games. So, yep, you do you, old brother. You do you. Anyway, that's going to wrap up things nicely this week, everybody. Let's move on to the outro. Yeah, so I haven't got anything planned for next week. I'm sure I'll come up with something in the meantime. We'll obviously have news and catch up. More Metal Max Returns goodness. I wonder if I might have it finished by next week. But obviously, now that I've recorded this week's episode, I can now move on with Final Fantasy XII and finally get my chops. Everyone keeps talking about chops, and I can't remember for the life of me what they are talking about. I think there is some horrible fetch quest about to happen around Arcades. So, I will look forward to that. But yes, everybody, again, we had the book club. If you've listened to this whole episode by now, I don't need to explain what the RPG club is all about. But join in with us. Come bring the love. Come catch up on Final Fantasy XII. Come catch up on Metal Max Returns. Or you can move on with the next games. Again, you can show your love and support for the show and help nominate the next RPG Club game by joining us on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/RPGyears, and yep, that's where you can help nominate and vote for the next RPG Club game if you are interested in doing so. Also, you can reach out to us on Twitter. You can reach me at Metunica, M-E-T-U-N-N-I-C-A. You can reach Scott at The Scott Spot. And you can also reach the show in general at RPG Years. Obviously, we're available on all your lovely podcasting applications that you can find. If you find one we're not available on, please, please let me know and I will do my best to get it onto that platform for you. And if that platform that you do use happens to have a rating system or you could leave feedback, please do so because it really helps grow and engage the show with more people. And that's what we want. We want to grow our wonderful community of people who just are enthusiasts with JRPG video games like me. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to expand my knowledge. I couldn't play Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy IX one more time until I had expanded my knowledge and played games like Final Lap Twin and Terranigma. Oh, what a game Terranigma was. So much better than Secret of Mana. Anyway, so everybody, come join us next time. And also, don't forget, RPG Club, you've got to reach Guru Vegan by March 5th, people. March 5th. Get your feedback in as soon as you can on Twitter or join us in the Discord. Again, if you want to join us in the Discord, links are in the show notes below, or you can find it on our pinned tweet on Twitter, or you can find a link via our website at probablywork.com/RPGyears. And that's it, everybody. I'm going to sign off for the week now, and I hope you all have a great time getting your chops. I wish I knew what it meant. Anyway, I've been Bill. This has been the RPG Years. I love you all. Bye!
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.